You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hi, everyone. Debbie Laux here to share more of Monty's concepts and wisdom about the trust and insights we can learn from horses and apply to our own lives. Welcome to the third episode reading from Horse Sense for People, a book that's all about bridging the gap between human and horse and discovering how silent lessons can make us better friends, colleagues, and listeners. In this section, Monty explains the principles of join-up and how we can transfer them to our human world. He takes us through the process of join-up and explains how horses have a very effective and discernible language. Incredibly, it's universal to the species, unlike humans. We humans have amazing brains, but often we need help to communicate with each other. You can force horses, but you can't also create optimal cooperation and performance at the same time. Monty remains optimistic that by choosing cooperation over domination and by working with the horse's nature rather than against it, we can change the way horses are trained forever and help improve ourselves in the process. Let's continue this journey through Horse Sense for People. Are you ready to deepen your connection with your horse? Then put on some hands-on gloves, the grooming gloves that improve the comfort of your horse. Join us as we explore training techniques, horse welfare, and building a true partnership on this podcast. And find hands-on gloves wherever you get all your grooming needs for your horse. That's hands-on gloves.
How to achieve join-up. To understand the important principles behind join-up and how we can transfer them to our human world, I will quickly take you through the process of join-up itself. The horse has a very effective and discernible language. The incredible thing about this language is that it is universal to the species. Humans, on the other hand, possessing the most phenomenal brains on earth, often need help to communicate with one another. Just like any other form of communication, the language of equus requires some effort to master. If we refuse to believe that the horse can communicate fluently, then we are apt to fall into the trap of training through the use of pain. Consider for a moment what you would feel if, when you attended your first day of school, your teacher put a chain through your mouth or over your nose, gave it a jerk, and then took a whip to you when you tried to get away. What do you believe the balance of your relationship would have been? How do you think you would have viewed school from that point on? The point of my method is to create a relationship based on trust and confidence. A relationship by which the horse wants to join up, be a part of the team, and wear the same color jersey. Most conventionally broken horses form an adversarial relationship with the people they work for. Though they may agree to perform, it is with reluctance. An environment that is based on fear and punishment will achieve performance, but not innovation. You can force people and horses to cooperate, but you cannot force optimal performance. This desire to perform can only be achieved through intrinsic motivation. When starting the fresh horse, I request that he perform certain maneuvers, but I must not force or demand. The horse is the quintessential flight animal, and when any pressure is applied to the relationship, he will almost always choose to leave rather than fight. I bring the horse into my round pen, where I introduce myself in the center of the circle. After this brief get-acquainted session, I offer the horse an opportunity to leave me. I square up to the animal, snap my eyes directly onto his, what I call eyes on eyes. The horse, viewing this predatory gesture, flees. I track the horse as he proceeds around the perimeter of the pen so that my shoulders are square with him at all times. My eyes pierce his eyes. In his language, this means go away. My message to him is, you made the choice to go away, and that's fine. But don't go away a little. Go away a lot. Horses have a flight distance of approximately a quarter of a mile. After that, they feel compelled to negotiate with their predator, as it could be dangerous to continue fleeing because they could run into another predator or out of energy. I remain, eyes on eyes, shoulders square, but I watch closely for gestures of negotiation. Gestures that make up the language of Equus that I have deciphered over a lot of years. Normally the first one I see is that he will lock the closest ear on me. It will continue to point in my direction as he circles the pen. This means I respect you. I don't know who you are or what you're up to, but I will show you respect and attempt to negotiate with you. Secondly, he will come off the wall and try to come closer to me in the middle of the pen. I remain shoulders square, eyes on eyes, which effectively keeps him away. The next gesture is that he usually licks and chews. Language, in effect, that conveys he does not fear me and believes I will not hurt him. The fourth and last gesture that I wait to receive is that when he drops his head down right near the soil and bounces it along, this is to say that if we could have a meeting to renegotiate, I would let you be chairman of the meeting. With all four of these gestures in place, I take my eyes away from his eyes, turn slightly away from him, and set my shoulders on a 45-degree angle to his body axis. This means that he's entitled to come to me, to make a choice to be with me rather than go away. I stand at that point virtually motionless as he approaches and reaches his nose out, most often nudging me in the back. This is the moment of join-up, when the horse has chosen to accept me. I turn slowly, with my eyes cast downward between his front legs, my shoulders round, my fingers closed, and wrists bent. I reach out and rub him between the eyes. This is his reward for joining up with me. And then I walk away, and the horse will follow me. I call this follow-up. I can literally walk a serpentine pattern in the round pen, and the horse is happy to follow close to my shoulder. I stop, turn slowly, and stroke him once again, reaffirming our new relationship. Once the horse is on a positive path, the balance of the procedure is academic. Before I ask him to accept certain responsibilities, I must earn his trust by showing him I am not a predator. To that end, we work our way through a series of goals. One is to massage with both hands those areas most often attacked by predators, high on the back and low in the soft flanks. I stroke the horse and then walk away, so that he becomes aware that I have no agenda to cause him pain. I pick up and put down each of his feet, then once more walk away to achieve the same result. After that comes the saddle pad, saddle, bridle, and rider. If he says no to any of these procedures, he goes back to work, which means I gently but firmly push him away from me and require him to run around the perimeter of the round pen once more. Often, placing the bit in his mouth causes the horse to forget about the saddle and think about this new item of tack. It causes a diversion. Such a diversionary tactic can, we all know, be useful in dealing with reluctant children. If they are focused on a negative, diverting their attention to something else is often a swift and effective way of turning a negative situation into a positive one. At no time is there a need to inflict pain or use violence. At this point with the horse, I have essentially accomplished my aim to have the horse accept saddle, bridle, and rider. The horse is not traumatized and elects to stay with me. This is the secret of true leadership. An effective leader must create a situation whereby people choose to stay with him. There are clear parallels between the procedure I have described and certain aspects of human communication. With horses, the methods are physical. With humans, they are psychological. But they are both rooted in psychology, and the results are the same phenomenon of acceptance, which will be predictable, discernible, and effective. First impressions are perhaps the most important messages we convey. There is never a second chance to make a first impression, and the importance of the manner of a greeting can never be overstated. We humans can tell much from a handshake. Does it have feeling of welcome and warmth, or the lack of it? Rubbing the horse on the forehead I believe to be quite similar to the human handshake. People seem to be most comfortable after a handshake when they remain eye to eye and begin to communicate. Horses, on the other hand, do not require eye contact at this time and are happiest when the human walks away from them immediately after rubbing their forehead. The horse will generally follow the human at this point. Predators don't walk away from their prey animals. When I rub the forehead of my equine student and then walk away from him, I'm conveying a message that I'm not acting as a predator. This welcome gives confidence to each party about the other's intentions. A human hug is a wonderful reward for friendship given and establishes its continuance. Eyes on eyes, shoulders square, and encouraging the horse to go away is the same as allowing people to consider their options and recognize their mutual needs. Generally, eye-to-eye contact between people implies communication is going to follow. When the horse turns his nearest ear toward me, he's paying close attention to what I'm saying. It is his first offering of respect during this act of communication. Coming closer to me in the center of the circle is the equivalent of a person watching me closely during a conversation and appearing to be keenly aware of what I'm saying. Licking and chewing, another part of the wordless conversation between horse and man, also has a broad connection to human communication. When the horse is still suckling its mother, he moves its mouth in a unique manner, quite similar to the movements of a human baby. Once the horse has learned to eat grass and hay, this changes to a licking and chewing motion. There's a great deal of meaning in this. "Let's have lunch together" is very different from "Let's spend 30 minutes in an office somewhere." It metaphorically shows your soft underside and builds an environment of trust. After my first meeting with Queen Elizabeth, many people asked me if I had dined with her. It was surprising to me at that time, but it made me acutely aware of how important most people feel it is to have shared a meal with someone. There's a subconscious understanding that sharing food suggests a closer association. Horses understand their own vulnerability while eating, and so that activity is reserved for a time when they are in the presence of those they trust. When the horse drops his head and trots along, bouncing it near the soil, he is acting out a very similar gesture to that of bowing in traditional Japanese culture. The person who achieves the lower position in the gesture of greeting is in fact asking the other to lead the conversation. This is virtually a direct translation of what the horse is saying. "Please suggest the agenda for this meeting. I don't necessarily want to be subservient to you, but one of us has to play the lead role, and I would like it to be you." The join-up movement is what any successful human conversation tries to achieve. It represents the coming together of two people, a meeting of the minds, and of mutual respect and understanding. It advances the thought that I am happy to be with you, and that I hope our time together will be one of mutual enjoyment. I place enormous importance on the fact that it is volunteered. It is not possible to achieve join-up when either participant feels pressure to accomplish it. It is not that we agreed to do it. It is that we want to do it. Follow-up is when I walk away from the horse after join-up. He will follow me only if he has a true desire to be with me. Horses have no ability to contrive. When I walk away, if he has any reticence about being with me, he certainly will not follow. Isn't this similar to forming a close association with another person, nurturing that association, and then waiting to see if your new friend makes any effort to come to you? If none is made, perhaps you need a bit more time to convince this individual that you have a meaningful role to play in his or her life. In my opinion, this is the same whether in business or personal relationships. I mentioned that during each of my join-up procedures, I stroke the horse with both hands in what I call his vulnerable areas, those spots most often attacked by predators. and then I walk away. I do this to convince the horse that I intend him no harm. No predator walks away from his prey once he has access to the vulnerable areas. This builds trust. People are much the same. And while vulnerability can be either psychological or physical, you build trust when you're in a position where you could cause harm and you don't. The same is true when you protect another person from something you believe could be harmful. In turn, you know that if the same is done for you, it will increase your level of trust. This gesture confirms the trust that began to develop at the first greeting. This trust-building tool is one of the most powerful in the world of commerce. The sharing of personal experiences between colleagues helps to create an environment in which people can work at a closer and more efficient level. To further build this trust, I pick up each of the horse's feet, hold it for a few seconds, put it down, and walk away. The horse's legs and feet are virtually their only weapons against predators. Their first choice is to flee using those powerful legs, but they will fight, but only as a last resort. The strike of a front hoof or the kick of a back one can often mean life for the horse instead of death. When the horse chooses to allow me to control its feet, he is in fact entrusting me with his weapons. Isn't it true in the human spectrum that before we can go forward in a trust-based relationship, we are obliged to lay down our weapons? It is not until both parties feel no need for armament that we can truly work in unison. The saddle pad corresponds in human terms to a tentative step toward shouldering first responsibility. The question asked of us might be, are you going to be responsible for your own decisions? It is useful to find out how people will react to the idea of responsibility before it is given. For example, engagement before marriage, internship before becoming a practitioner, and apprenticeship before achieving professional status. The saddle continues the testing and accepting of responsibility. It is literally about carrying responsibility. Being saddled with describes the assignment of a task. Acceptance of the saddle is a metaphor for facing up to responsibility and accepting the responsibility of further challenges. The bridle is used to guide the horse. Taking the bit between the teeth means, in human terms, to put energy into something, to be purposeful. The bridle is used for gentle guidance, not control. If the horse wanted to do something, a bridle wouldn't stop him. Among people, guidance, or the willing acceptance of guidance, suggests that a trust mechanism is in place and that one person is listening to another. The bridle represents purpose and direction based upon communication and trust. Cohesive direction and good communication create teamwork, which we rely upon to achieve shared goals. The rider is the ultimate responsibility for the horse. A commitment akin to that partnership of marriage. The partnership of horse and rider represents the mutual acceptance of responsibility between employer and employee, teacher and student, husband and wife. Trust between horse and human can be seen when the two partners are relaxed and at peace together, where there is no force or stress involved. It cannot be overemphasized that any violence will undo the process I have just described.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as we did. If you're eager to learn more and connect with the incredible world of Monty Roberts, we have so much more to share. Beyond our insightful books, you can explore comprehensive courses through our online university. Join us at inspiring events and tap into a wide variety of educational materials. It all starts at MontyRobertsUniversity.com/library.